Let's be still now before the Lord as we bring our meeting to God in prayer and as we seek His face for blessing upon our meeting today. Father, we again come with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts for the privilege of being in the house of prayer and of praise again. Lord, fresh in our minds from last Lord's Day, our special time of prayer in the afternoon, committing our nation into Thy gracious hand, praying for providential care and direction, for restraint. And Lord, we come to the One whom we know is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Father, we want today to ask in faith. We come in the Savior's all-prevailing and mighty name. And Lord, we realize today that we are weak in ourselves. And so often the offering of praise that we present with our lips and from our hearts is very weak, very meager. Lord, we are praying today that the Holy Ghost will come with power to enable us to worship in spirit and in truth. To worship, Lord, in the right way with a true heart. Therefore, we pray our minds would be cleansed. Our hands and our hearts would be pure. As we approach the throne of heavenly grace. And Lord, we know that that purification is nothing that we do of ourselves. In reality, it is all because of the precious shed blood of our Savior. For we cannot approach, Lord, to Your throne upon any ground or merit other than what Christ Jesus has offered of His own atoning sacrifice. And this, Lord, fills our hearts with joy and with great thanksgiving and, Lord, with relief. Because was it dependent upon ourselves, where would we be today? We could not approach, Lord. For our own sin would condemn us. But thank God today in Christ we are clothed with the righteousness of the Son of God. And we know today it is well with our soul. We know, Lord, that we are accepted in the Beloved. And so, Father, today as we do approach to give praise and thanksgiving and to offer worship from our souls, Lord, bless this Lord's Day. Bless these services. Bless everyone who is gathered in person. Let there be, Father, a word in season to every heart. A word of instruction. A word, Lord, of correction. A word of rebuke. A word of great encouragement to the souls that are weary and perhaps hands that are hanging down and knees that are a bit feeble. Ah, Lord, we come to the One who is able to strengthen us with might in the inner man. I'm thankful for that today, Lord. I pray that You would come to encourage the hearts of Your people. All of us here who know Christ. All of us here can testify that we are saved by sovereign grace. Lord, bless us and give us direction where we are seeking for that specifically. Lord, answer the prayers of every one of Your people, some for employment. Lord, bless them and grant that employment that is necessary, some for accommodation. Housing, maybe new housing might be the need. The Lord, supply that. We're thankful for answering prayer for our brother Ken. And we pray You would encourage his heart and bless him as he settles into his new place. Lord, we are mindful for the small, the medium, the very large requests and needs that we have. And we present every one of them, Lord, at the throne of grace today. Father, bless every need in this fellowship. Bless those who are connected with our denomination in our churches across Canada, the United States, our mission fields, overseas, wherever it might be, and whatever the need is, Lord, supply that need abundantly according to Your divine will. Our Father, we pray for unsaved ones that are connected with our families, that we know personally, those who have been witnessed to and we have shared our faith. Make us all, I pray, soul winners for Christ. Help us to have right on the very tip of our tongue that verse of Scripture that will just be the word, the appropriate time. And Lord, give us great help and power by the Spirit to be able to show men and women how they need to flee to Jesus for salvation. Lord, this world does not have an answer for the deepest need of the human heart. But we know, Lord, where that answer is. And we know who has the answer. It is found in Jesus alone, the way, the truth, and the life. And so, bless our testimonies, I pray. Bless the outreach of this fellowship, an electronic sign that scrolls the Word of God continually, and the broadcast that goes out now over sermon audio regularly every week, and those that might tune in by accident in their mind, but Your providence is directed. Lord, I pray that the Word will be a blessing to them today in salvation and in encouragement for Your people. Lord, remember the needs of our nation. We commit our Prime Minister, Lord, into Your hand. We pray for his salvation. We ask, Lord, that You would bless all those who are in places of authority with wisdom and discretion and restraint from evil. Lord, hear our prayer on these specific points and bless us with freedom in our land. Some, Lord, would desire to take that freedom away, and we pray that they will be rebuked strongly. We pray that those who are intent on putting forward an agenda that is against the Word of God, that is which is evil, Lord, stop them in their tracks. And Father, remember, we pray, the persecuted church today across this world, Christians who are suffering for the cause of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that You would help them, bless them, protect them, let them be a witness where they are. Remember the underground church in places like China, the Christians in Afghanistan and India, Sri Lanka, Islamic countries. Lord, help in all these areas, we pray. So, Lord, bless us now today. Encourage us. Help us in our ongoing worship now. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's continue, please, in our worship before the throne of God above. Standing to sing. Thank you. please turn for our congregational reading to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, the first 16 verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man? Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Well, we have read much here about our Lord Jesus. We're going to be continuing as we come to the Word today in verse 17, reading on. So you might flag that spot in your Bible. But we pray that God would bless the Word read to every one of your hearts, and it would be an encouragement to you. Again, we say a word of warm welcome to you all in the Lord's house. We're happy that you're here. We're very pleased to welcome always visitors in our service. We're happy that Jean is with us today. You're very welcome in our church service this morning. She came along with Duncan and Joan, and we're thankful for that today. And also, Joan, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord. We know that you've not been well, and we're happy that you are with us. Let's remember the ones who are not able to get out on a regular basis. We think of our dear sister, Mrs. Campbell, and Jean Bino, and John and Thelma Watson, and Henry and Kathy Lee, these ones who need our prayers very much in the Lord. So let's hold them up before God. A word of congratulations in order. for Frank DiDerno, because he and his wife Clarissa had a baby boy on Friday born to them. Frank, of course, is one of our student ministers studying in for the gospel ministry, so we are thankful for that. They have called him Franco David DiDerno after Frank's grandfather, Franco David DiDerno. So we rejoice with the Lord, in the Lord, in giving to them and to Clarissa safe delivery in the birth of that one. On Friday evening, we had a time of recognizing our Sunday school staff, and it was a very encouraging time of fellowship, and it was an enjoyable dinner time together. We are thankful for those who worked hard to make provision for that, put it all together, and each one who is able to come. And we pray that the Lord would continue to encourage our Sunday school teachers and certainly those who will be near coming to retire very shortly. And we want to be recognizing that. I'll say a word about that just in a moment. But we are thankful to the Lord for the time we had on Friday evening. Let me ask you, please, to remember the services and the ministry going on this week and things that have happened and that will be happening in the will of the Lord. Our monthly session and board prayer meeting that was scheduled for today, well, we combined that with the special prayer time really last Lord's Day afternoon. And so, men, we will have that at the regular time next month. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, for our Bible study and prayer time, that will be at 7:30. Come in good time and come prepared to study the Word and also to pray. Last Wednesday, we brought to you a report of all of our missionaries, just a little something from each of the mission fields, and asking you to remember them much in your prayers. And let's not forget to do that on a regular basis. Session and board meeting, we will have a meeting after the prayer time on Wednesday night, again, to discuss that one item of business regarding the grounds. We want to come to some conclusion on that. Next Lord's Day is October the 3rd, and it's the first Lord's Day of the month, and so our communion service will be after the evening meeting, next Lord's Day evening. Remember that, please, communion after the evening service. And also, we want to recommence our Bible classes, our Sunday school for all ages, next Lord's Day. That means that at 9:55 we want to commence and start sharply. So let me encourage you, if you are a teacher, you should be here about 15 minutes minimum before your class begins to be sure you're set and prepared and all ready to go. And let me ask everyone who will be attending those Bible classes to come 5 minutes early rather than 5 minutes late. Come 5 minutes early. You be in your place by 9:50, and then we'll be ready to start by 9:55, and we'll maximize that hour that we have for the Sunday school before our morning service commences. It's very important to be on time for the Lord's house and His ministry, because, you know, when we only come together once a week, really, apart from Wednesday evenings, well, you know, time can slip away very quickly, and we want to be sure we make use of all the time to the best of our ability. So please, next Lord's Day, be in your place by 9:50, so we'll make a start for 9:55. We have some upcoming information for you, and I know that you may not remember it all, but at least it'll be introduced to you now. Our presbytery meetings will be held in Indianapolis coming up on October the 4th to the 8th. And we will be thinking about those that are not only in person, but they will be on Zoom for those ministers not able to attend in person. And I would ask you to remember, please, all of those meetings from Monday evening right through until Friday. Remember them, please, in your own prayer. The Lord's Day of October the 10th, so it's not next week, but the one following after that. Well, that is a Thanksgiving weekend, October the 10th. And we also are looking forward to the visit of Reverend Ian Gollaher. He's going to be preaching for us in the morning service, but he's also going to be taking the youth and the adult Bible classes, and they will, of course, be in the basement. Remember that, please, for Reverend Gollaher coming on the 10th. Then, regarding our Port Hope congregation, well, they are going to be trying again to have their anniversary services. They've been kind of shut down with most other meetings as well over the last year and a half. But they are trying and going to move forward from October the 25th to the 29th. That's Monday right through until Friday night. And Reverend Ryan McKee from our Makrafelt congregation overseas Northern Ireland will be with, Lord willing, will be here. He'll be here for those special Port Hope services. And of course, everyone here is also welcome to attend there if you would like each night of the week. But then we're very pleased that Brother Ryan McKee will be with us for Reformation services on October the 31st. He'll be preaching morning and evening. And our brother will also be singing for us in the evening service. We're looking forward to an exciting time in the fall. Lots of things going on. Much in need of our prayers for every service, every meeting, everything that we are hoping to accomplish. It is for the Lord's honor and every service that we have. So please remember these things in prayer. They'll all be on our website. All of these announcements will be in our bulletin. You will have them for next week for sure, so you'll have record of them for your own information. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, and generally this is our offering hymn, and if you would like to put your offering on the plate that's at the table as you're leaving today, there are also offering envelopes there if you need one. Number 173 in our book, Our Great High Priest. We'll remain seated while we sing. Let me invite you to stand, please, for this final verse. What a blessing to know that Jesus, who is our blessed Savior, He soon for us will come. And when it speaks there in that last line, redemption's work completed, our battle fought and won. Sometimes, believer, it might not appear to us that the battle has been won, because we realize in many respects we're still in the contention for the cause of Christ. But the victory that we have is this, that most certainly our Savior, who has risen victorious over the grave and is seated at God's right hand today, He is our great King, our great Victor. And we are to live in the victory of Calvary. We are to live in the victory of the glorious resurrection of Jesus and the certainty that He is coming back again to receive us to Himself. Let that put a smile upon your spirit in the midst of all of life's problems. Turning again, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. Reading from verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful High Priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor, to deliver them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if we'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Whilst it is said today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's bow, please, before the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that the Word of God would be fastened to every heart. Let it be the good seed that is planted deeply in all our souls, so that it will bring forth fruit to the glory of Thy holy name. Dear Lord, I pray today that help would be given in the ministry of the Word of God, that ears would be open and that hearts would be open to receive and to be edified and blessed. Give strength, Lord, where there is weakness. Give clarity where there is uncertainty. Give hope, Lord, where there is sadness. And give us firm belief and confidence where sometimes there might be shakiness, uncertainty. Ah, Lord, bless us today, I pray, and turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, that we might see in Him all where we have lack in Him is sufficiency. And I pray we'll know the blessing of the Spirit revealing Him to us today. Hear this, our prayer. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want you to think with me today primarily on the opening verse of chapter 3, where the admonition is given to God's people to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. A title for the message today would be this: a deeper consideration of Christ. That is really what is presented by the apostle and by the Spirit of God through this teaching, both through chapters 1 into 2 and now in the third chapter. It really is coming down to focus on this great theme of a deeper consideration of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly could not go wrong in that theme, because in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, it is all written about our Lord. Yes, right from the book of Genesis, concluding in Malachi and beginning in Matthew, right to the end of Revelation, where John says, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." The entire volume of the book of God, it is written about Him. He is said to be the brightness of the Father's glory. Christ Jesus is the express image of His person. He is the one who has come to purge away our sins, and then He took His place, the place of glory at the right hand of the Majesty who is on high. Our Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation is called the Son of God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We find also in another place in the book of Hebrews, He is said to grip and to hold the scepter of righteousness. One who loves truth and one who hates iniquity. Yes, friends, there are things that God hates, and there are things that you and I should hate as well. God hates unrighteousness. Our God hates deception. He hates those who go forward to counter what God has said in His own precious Word. And so, as we think today on this great theme of considering, in a deeper consideration, our Lord Jesus Christ, let us give as much as lies within us undivided consideration to the One who has loved us and who has given Himself for us. You know, in these chapters of Hebrews, and it's impressed upon me more as I read through the book, that the apostle is emphasizing to the Hebrew Christians the danger of false professions, the danger of those who had crept into the church, the visible church of Christ, and they made a profession with their mouth, but in their hearts, they were not truly the children of God. They were not truly followers of Christ. And you can see it coming to the surface again and again in the writings through chapter 2, and then in chapter 3, how he has now exhorted them to beware of unbelief. To beware that they are not taken in with that infectious disease of unbelief that so troubled the church in the Old Testament in Moses' day. Those who journeyed 40 years in the wilderness. Yes, those who had come out of Egypt, there were God's remnant of people, but among that and not great gathering, there were many who were divided. Many who were unclean. Many who were not truly followers of God. And so, the Lord tells us very clearly that their carcasses, their bodies fell in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They would not and could not enter into the promised land. But their children, the ones whom they said would die in the wilderness, their children are the ones who went in to possess. The warning of being sure and making your calling and election sure comes through and is repeated again at the beginning of chapter 6 of Hebrews. We looked upon that on our devotional time on Friday night, not thinking on that part specifically, but it did come up where the beginning of chapter 6 is dealing with apostates. It's dealing with those who made an open profession and had some of the indicators that they truly were born again, but they weren't. And so, again, throughout Hebrews, the idea is that Christ Jesus has come to die for His people. He has come to die on Calvary's cross in order to make atonement for His own chosen ones. And the great force of this is pressing home to everyone to be sure that you truly are under the covenant of God, that you're under the blood of Christ Jesus. And it is this application and the force of this that is again presented to God's people to consider deeply the Lord Jesus. Because, friend, if you're not truly a Christian, you won't care about this. The fact of the matter is, you don't really love the Lord if you're not truly a believer. But if God's Spirit is alive and working effectually within you, you love your Lord. And the truth is this, you want to know more about Him. You want to see His image reflected more truly in your own life. Because you love Him and you know that He is the one who has loved you with an everlasting love. And so, my dear friends, today, it is a lifelong journey for us all. A life long education of coming to a deeper, a wider, a vaster understanding of our Lord, of His person, of His work, of who He is, and of what He came to do for us. What stage are we at today? Believer, what stage are you at in your earthly pilgrimage, your journey? Has the Lord over the last year become more real to you? Has your Lord over the last 6 months or maybe even a month, have you seen yourself growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord? If you have to kind of wonder, well, I don't maybe see just as much of that, then what's the answer? The answer, my dear friends, is this: bringing yourself to consider more deeply your Lord. That's how we will grow to be like Him. The more we see Him revealed in the Scriptures, the more we feast ourselves upon the Word of the Lord, meditating, praying, worshiping, dwelling on the Christ of God. For then our Heavenly Father is honored as Jesus is glorified. And the more that you and I become like Him, the more that our God and Father will be pleased. In the first place today, I want you to consider how Christ is to be described, considered, exalted in our life. Consider how He is here described for us. He is presented in verse 1 of chapter 3 as the apostle. This is the only place that this word appears in Hebrews, and the only time it is used of the Savior. The apostle, that word appears many other times in the New Testament, referring to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and all of the other apostles that were followers of the Lord. But only one time it is considered toward our Lord Jesus. It means the sent one. The apostle is the sent one. And in John 17, in the great high priestly prayer of our Lord, in verse 18, Jesus prayed to His Father, "As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world." So, the Lord is saying, I have received a commission from My Father. He's praying to His Father. He's saying, Lord, the commission that You have given to Me, the sending forth from heaven down to earth that You have given Me, I have also given to My apostles, My servants, instruction, a commission to be sent out. And the great apostle, our Lord Jesus Christ, received that direction from His Heavenly Father to do the will of God in His life. And our Savior was willingly sent by the Father, and He willingly submitted Himself to go. It was not something, my dear friend, where the Lord Jesus had to be cajoled to go. He didn't have to be persuaded to go down to earth. But the Father willingly gave of His only begotten Son into this world. And the Son of God willingly submitted Himself. So we have the image and the picture in Isaiah chapter 6, where the call goes out from heaven, "Who shall go for Me? Whom shall I send?" And the voice comes echoing back, "Here am I, Lord, send Me." That is the voice of Christ from the Father, saying, "I will go." And He humbled Himself, and He willingly went. And so, friend, you and I, as followers of our Savior, are we also willing to go at the commission of Christ? Are we willing to see ourselves mirrored in the person of our Lord Jesus and submitting ourselves by saying, "Here am I, Lord, send Me"? That's a good question to ask, you know. It's a very good thing that we should ask ourselves in the quietness of our own prayer time, in our own minds, Lord, am I willing to do Your work and service? Am I willing to go and to be used in whatever way that You want me to be used? In one sense, our Lord Jesus humbled Himself to be called an apostle after the office of a man. But on the other hand, He is the very first apostle, the one who was sent fulfilling His task perfectly. There was nothing wanting, nothing that had to be added to it. And that, my dear friend, is why the blasphemous sacrifice of the Mass is such an insult before a holy God, because in the repetition of that, so-called by the Church of Rome, it is an insult before a holy God, because Christ fulfilled completely the task and the apostleship that He was given and sent to do and accomplish, never to be repeated again, once for all. And He did so with humility. And He did so with absolute determination to complete the will of God. So often Jesus said, as He was disputing with the Pharisees or communicating with His own disciples, it's repeated that the Father communicated to the Son, and the Son has fulfilled entirely, in every minute detail, all that the Father had commissioned His Son to do. You know, my friend, there's a danger for us to be satisfied with just the status quo of our lives. And the application here for us, and for all of us, myself included, is to allow the Spirit to examine our hearts, our motives, and to do self-examination on our own. Because if we are the servants of the Lord and we want to live our lives for God, then our willingness to serve Christ, it will be out of the motivation of our love for Him. It will be because He has given us that commission. And the will of my Savior, I want to fulfill in my life. Because when I fulfill the will of Christ, I will honor the Father and fulfill His will as well. Are we followers of God as dear children? Oftentimes we can be more, self-promoting than we are always Christ-promoting. Let our love be without dissimulation. Let it be without hypocrisy, but rather we are faithfully and obediently following. The Lord Jesus told that story that about the two sons. The first son, whom He said, the father said, "Go, son, work in my vineyard today." And the first son said, "I will not go." But after he relented and he went. And the second son said, "I will go." But he did not go. And so the hypocrisy of that, the first one was not nearly as willing as he should have been. But as he reflected upon it in his own heart, he saw, yes, it is the will of God. I will honor and obey my Lord. And he went. And of course, the picture again there that Jesus was painting before the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, even unto His own to whom He had come, they said, "Yes, we will honor God. We will follow Moses' law. We will obey God." But they strained at a gnat and swallowed the camel. And they did not go. They did not follow. They did not obey. They rejected the Messiah. And in rejecting the Christ of God, they rejected the Father as well. For Jesus said to them, "You are of your father, the devil. And of his works you will do. But those who are children of the King, children of our Heavenly Father. It is of His works that we want to do. We want to follow in the pathway of our Lord Jesus as the great apostle. Now, we are not, humanly speaking, going to be designated apostles. They were for a period in church history, and at the close and the death of the last apostle, that was the end of that apostolic ministry. But following on from that, there are servants, and the Lord has set up His church to be governed by elders and by deacons. And He has given us the structure in the New Testament. Let us follow our Lord Jesus in that willingness of heart. But our Savior here, back in Hebrews 3, verse 1, is also called the High Priest. The High Priest. This term is such a familiar one to us, and certainly throughout the Old Testament. The term was used as really the highest place of religious service. The highest place in the Old Testament, and for the Old Testament Jew, that could be attained within the priesthood. And these positions, this position was something appointed by God with a purpose of communicating God's message to men. And so the high priest and the priestly office was set apart by God for this purpose of taking God's message and presenting it to men, but also to be man's representative to appear before God. And this is really coming down to what the high priest was to do, for he was designated to take the atoning blood of the sacrificial animal, and once a year to go into the holiest of all, that no other person was allowed to go into at any other time of the year, only the high priest, and only once a year, and he must have blood. Do you know they would tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest? Because if something had gone awry and he had been stricken dead, they wanted to be able to remove his body from that place without someone else having to go in. That was part of the custom among the Jews. So solemn, so sacred, so special was this place that only the high priest could go in to make atonement and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. Well, what a great picture we have for our Lord Jesus Christ is here said to be our high priest. So He is the apostle sent from God with a commission from the Lord, but He is also said and presented for us as our high priest of our profession. And so Christ Jesus, what did He do? He came from God with a purpose of communicating the message of God to mankind. What message was that? That there is salvation possible. That there is salvation for man who has sinned and broken God's law. And when Christ Jesus came down from heaven to be God's representative, He also became man's representative to God. For the Apostle Paul would say, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Praise His name today, friends. Those of you today who are saved because of the representation of Jesus on your account. He is your high priest. He is your great high priest. And today, if it was left up to us, we would have no salvation. But it's not left up to us, friend. It is all and totally and completely dependent upon our Lord's sacrifice and work on our behalf as He represented us. No one else in the Bible is referred to as the great high priest for obvious reasons. The Old Testament priesthood has now been abolished. Hebrews makes that very clear, that as a commentary on the book of Leviticus and all of the sacrifices that were types and shadows looking forward to Calvary, to the Messiah who would come and fulfill all of them. So Hebrews closes the book up and says, Christ came once for all. And our great high priest represented God to men and represented men to God, and Himself became the sacrifice for our sin. As our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ came to offer Himself without spot to God. The Old Testament lamb, it was quite a process for them to select an unspotted animal for the Day of Atonement. This was not done casually. This was done with the most intricate care, because that sacrifice was going to be the blood shedding in representation to all the nation. And so they did it with great care. How much more, my dear friends, did our Heavenly Father do with great care the sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could be offered for our sin. And it was Himself, His only begotten Son, that He would send to be our high priest, to be our sacrifice. And so it occurred and was accomplished. And the blood of Christ was sprinkled and has been presented in glory on the mercy seat in heaven, in that place that is not made with hands, but all of the pictures and the types on earth have now been given to us so that we can see the picture in heaven that Christ's blood has been applied for us and it will never be removed. It's there. Ah, but my dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ is given to us as our apostle and our great high priest, one who is faithful. The Son of God is compared to the faithfulness of Moses. This is absolutely striking when you think about it. It says in verse 2, "Who was faithful to Him that appointed Him," that is God the Father who appointed Christ, "as also Moses was faithful in all his house." It never ceases to amaze me how that in the humility of our God and of Christ, the Lord uses a term in which you and I can really understand clearly. Of course, the Lord was the great picture preacher. He would use the elements of nature and trees and rocks and fish and birds, and He would use all of these things to draw our attention to see the spiritual lesson behind the picture. And so again, the Lord says, well, what would be a good picture for you of someone who was faithful? Well, Moses was a faithful man, wasn't he? And every Jew would say, absolutely, Moses was a faithful man. And so faithful was he that God took him up into the Mount Sinai and gave him the law. And he communed with God as no other man had communed with God before. Moses knew the Lord face to face, as friend to friend. That's an amazing thing. And Moses is given to us, though he is a sinful man, he is a human man. Moses failed. We know how he failed in the 40-year wilderness when he struck the rock the second time, when he should have spoken to it. And God said, "You will not now go into the land of Canaan. You will see it, but you will not go." And what a picture it is of Moses, the man who was the giver of the law, the one who presented the law to the people at Sinai, but the law was not able to bring the people into the land of Canaan. That was done and left with Joshua. And of course, Joshua, the name Jesus in the New Testament, the Old Testament name. Our greater Jesus, the great apostle, the great high priest, he is faithful as the one who built the house is greater than the house itself, because He is the designer and the maker. And though we might admire the house and the building, and it's good to do that, let us never forget the greatness of our God who has created all things. He is the most wonderful Counselor, the Father of eternity, the one whom we love, who has given Himself for us. And therefore, my friend, as we think about Christ as being the faithful and the true witness, we're told that in the book of Revelation 3, "For unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the firstborn from the dead," virtually. "And I saw in Revelation 19, heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now, friends, we are told here in this verse to consider Christ. And I would say, let that consideration of our Lord be a deep one. Let it be a broad one. Let it be vast as we look to the fullness of the heavens and the earth that our God fills. And say, "Lord, increase my consideration of Christ Jesus Himself." So often we can get stirred up and tied up in little things of life. And things that should not be big, they are big to us. And after the dust is settled and we look back on them, and maybe the dispute we had or the disagreement or whatever it was, it seems to be such a small thing, doesn't it, in light of what we're thinking about today? And what should consume the thoughts and the minds and the heart of all of us, of God's people? And I believe that in the house of God, in the work of the Lord, so often things that have blown up to be a problem or out of proportion, let's keep them in light of eternity. Let's keep them in light of the glory of Christ. Let's keep them in light of the glory of God's purpose for us. Second thing I leave with you today is the reason that we are to consider our Lord. The reason. Well, this has so many aspects to it. It seems very obvious, on one hand, the reasons why we should consider the Lord for who He is. He is the Son of God. He is equal to the Father. He is of the same essence of the Father. He is God of very God. And so we should consider the Savior for who He is. And when we think about that, we cannot divorce that idea from the fact that in who He is and what He became, what He did for us. That is so essential when we consider the person of our Lord Jesus, the miracle and the mystery of the Incarnation. It comes into focus for us. The more that we consider the height and the majesty of Christ and how lowly He made Himself in His humiliation. He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so I say to you, as God, He deserves to be worshipped by us. And as the Lord, He demands that we obey Him. And are we not to delight in the Lord? He is God, and He declares He will never leave you nor forsake you. Ah, believer, today, let our steps be directed by Him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in His great humility, He was tempted. And there were things hurled at our Lord, most insulting. The accusations that were brought against Him, He was born of fornication. That's what they said. They said He was an ordinary, common person. Worse than that, He was Beelzebub, the devil. He was one who had blasphemed because He made Himself God. And they tried on number of times to kill the Lord. But my dear friends, He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. And we want to consider Him again today for what all He has done for us. He has made us partakers of the heavenly calling. The word partaker is an interesting one. It means to participate in or an associate, like a partner. So the Lord has made you and I partners with Him. This directly ties us into the heavenly calling. The word heavenly is used different ways or times in Hebrews. We have the heavenly gift, heavenly things, the sanctuary, heavenly country, heavenly Jerusalem. And so all of these cases, there is really an intended contrast because between that which is earthly and the thing which is heavenly. Obviously, if you're talking about heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem, the Lord wants to show you there is a similarity in name, but a great distinction in all the detail. And so, we have a heavenly profession and calling. The wonder of all this is that we are said to be Christ's associate in this calling. So what He has obtained by His atoning merit, it belongs to us by grace, and now we possess it as our own. And so His atonement is our atonement. And all that He has gained for us through the merit of His sacrifice now belongs to us. Did Paul not bring that out in Romans 8, where he said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? So all that He possesses, friend, we possess. And we would say with the hymn writer, "Oh, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." He has given to us, my dear friends, so much. And we possess so much. And we are called by the Lord unto holiness. We are called to follow Him. Let not our profession be a shallow one. Let our profession not be one like those who were filled with unbelief and it left them destitute. Friend, I say to you today, don't be living your spiritual life on some wish or whim or uncertainty or some profession that you think you made when you were younger. Oh, I don't minimize those youthful and young conversions in any way, but my point is to be sure in your own heart. You must dig around the foundation of your own soul to be sure. You want to know that you belong to Him and He belongs to you. And you can rest in your faith upon the certainty of God's Word. For him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, we can this day be very, very certain of the profession of our faith. And the reasons that He has given to us are ample that we should consider Him and let it be ongoing. And then finally and very briefly, the benefit in time and eternity. You see, if we are associated with our Lord and we see our place in Christ, the benefit for us in time is that we will have certainty in our salvation. We will know now that we have a seat in glory in heaven. And it's not so much that we are, well, wishing that we hope we have a chair to sit down on when the music of death stops. And no, it's not all going to come as a chance or a wish or a whim. But friend, you know whom you have believed in. And you are persuaded that He is able to keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. And you know with all certainty, not because of a boastful self-confidence, but we are certain in Christ. And we honor Him in that certainty. And that's a benefit for us in time. Our sins have been forgiven now. We are set free. We have this possession in earthen vessels, in a temporal home, in a sense. But we possess this in our spirit. And when our spirits are separated from our body in death, the old frame will go down to the grave and our spirit will go up to glory. But there will come a blessed day of resurrection when our bodies will rise from the grave and the dead. All the molecules scattered by worms have been eaten and spread all over this globe and world. God will miraculously bring that back together and our bodies will rise from the grave. Because we are in Christ, we have this hope not only in time, but it stretches into eternity. That's the benefit of Christ being our apostle and high priest of our profession. For we know that we stand in Him complete and secure. What about you today, friend, if you're not a believer? What about you if you've been a church attender for a long time? Maybe a member of a church, but you don't have the certainty that you are in Christ today in your faith. What about you? It's time now, today, to come to Christ. He has said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the glorious gospel message. That's the good news of hope, that there is hope for those who are without Jesus today. I say to you, my dear friend, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and repent of your sins to Him. You do that quietly in your own heart, right where you're seated now, or at home if you're watching online. Yes, friend, the Lord will hear your prayer. He will respond to that call and He will save your soul for time and in eternity. And you will have the joy and the blessing of knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, take this word today, I pray, and so impress it upon all our hearts that we will be taught of the Spirit. And that some soul today would seek the Lord with all their heart for salvation. But Father, what about someone who may be cold and backslidden in heart, even at the point of doubting that they are truly saved? Lord, I pray You would speak to the heart and minister to them today as well, and bring them back. For we know, Lord, You have said You are married to the backslider. Give assurance. Give reassurance today, Lord, I pray. Hear us now. In Jesus' name, amen.